You're listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio, where God is true, man is sinful, and the church, well, it needs fixed.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us this week as Pastor Justin Johnson of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship begins a new series on the most controversial doctrines in the church. Would you believe that Christians actually disagree when it comes to major doctrines like baptism, the Lord's Supper, prayer, and tongues? Well, stay with us to hear why those doctrines are so controversial among Christians and how the problems can be resolved.
You grew up in a Catholic church, but stopped when it started to interfere with the ballgame. When you got married, you started going to the Baptist church down the road because you needed a pastor to perform the ceremony. Now that you have children, you started going to a non-denominational church because they had a better basketball court. But now your wife attends a charismatic church, and you stay home listening to ESPN Radio. Maybe you've been there and done that with churches, hopping from one to the next. Maybe you've never settled down because church never really made sense to you, and you had doubts and questions that weren't ever answered by the pastor. Well, you've never been to Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship. We teach Mid-Acts Pauline Dispensational Rite Division. We don't pass a collection plate. We don't beg for money. We don't jump the pew. We don't spend all morning singing and waving our hands at the clouds. Instead, we give an entire hour each Sunday morning to address your questions about the Bible. We take God's Word and actually apply it to current events. And we don't shy away from talking about the controversies. This is what you'll find at Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship at 6281 South, 900 West, Swayze, Indiana. You're welcome to come out and study with us and get your questions answered at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning. Or come out on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock where we study the Bible verse by verse. Or listen to us online at graceambassadors.com.
When your mama taught you manners, she said, whatever you do at the dinner table, don't talk about religion or politics, right? And this list tells you why. Because religion, and now I use the term loosely, referring to the Bible and doctrines and dogmas, are controversial. They're offensive. They divide. And thus, in polite company, when you're trying to enjoy your meatloaf, it could really make dinner go down wrong, you know. So don't talk about religion and politics. Well, that's not what we're meeting here. We're meeting here to learn right doctrine. We're here to study the Bible. And the function of church should be to grow in the knowledge of the truth, which means we need to address what the Bible says. The fact that what the Bible says is controversial to people in and out of the church should make no difference. And yet there's lots of people who are shocked that there are controversies, that the Bible's offensive, as if God should not be offensive to people. And yes, he should not be, but he is. And that's because we live in a present evil world, which, if you're being caught up in the history of things, has rejected God, you see, entirely. They rejected God before the flood. They rejected God after the flood. God created a nation. That nation rejected God. God himself came to this world. They killed him. He sent his spirit. They persecuted that church. They sent Paul. And they killed the apostles and early believers throughout the centuries. This world has rejected the God of the Bible, Jesus Christ. Okay, and so we really should not expect anything less than a world in opposition to us. So by being here this morning, even though we live in a country of freedom and religious freedom, you're taking a position contrary to the world, contrary to the majority, contrary to what's popular, what is seen as the status quo. Okay. So that's one reason why we're dealing with this morning, is to just to explain that it shouldn't be a shock to you that there's disagreements because of what the Bible teaches, but more specifically within the church. The doctrines we'll deal with this morning are controversies within the church. And so many are shocked that Christians disagree on things. Maybe they're new to Christianity. Maybe they haven't studied too much about Christianity. Maybe they're not familiar with any Christianity outside of their small Christian bubble. So they think, well, Christians disagree on things? It must be trivial matters. It must be things that aren't important. Well, this just shows that you haven't really surveyed the landscape. Okay? Christians disagree on lots of things. There's lots of controversies, debates, disputes within the church. I'm not going to deal with, we'll speak about it briefly, but I'm not going to deal with things outside the church that are controversial. Okay, so we're not dealing with the atheist claim, does God exist or not? Everyone in the church believes God exists, I hope, except for those fake pastors who are atheists in the pulpit for a paycheck, but you know, we won't deal with them this morning. There's lots of disagreement. And number two, how do you deal with it? It's not enough just to say there is disagreement, but what do we do as Christians? I mean, aren't we supposed to be, as Trevor taught this morning rightly, one body? Aren't we supposed to be one church? There shouldn't be 1,000 denominations. So what are we to do about it? Do we ignore the controversy? Do we deal with it? Do we forget it? Do we diminish it? What happens? You know, should we be divisive? How do we deal with the controversies? Okay. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10 is a passage people like to go to when dealing with divisions, because that's what Paul's dealing with in Corinth, is divisions, contentions, controversies within the Corinthian church. And if there's any church in Paul's ministry that describes 21st century Christianity in America, it is the Corinthian church. That's for sure. Carnal, fleshly, they'll take grace, but not the requirements of it. The Corinthians just match it to a T, including the problems in Corinth as well. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 10, Paul says, "I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing." And so this lesson is about controversies and controversial doctrines in the church. And Paul's exhorting the Corinthians, you guys need to speak the same thing. And that should be our objective. We'll learn later in the lesson that that's how we deal with the controversies. We don't forget them. We don't ignore them. We don't neglect them. We say, as Paul did, hey, guys, we need to speak the same thing. And that same thing needs to be the right thing, you see. But that's where the controversy ensues, is that one Christian says this is right, another Christian says this is right. What is our standard? See, how do we know who is right? But this is why we need to study to show ourselves approved. Paul says that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Notice Paul is calling for unity here, calling to put aside the controversies. But his solution, as you read Corinthians in 15 chapters, 16 chapters, is not to set aside the doctrines. Paul spends 16 chapters adamantly teaching the right doctrine and telling them, that's wrong, that's wrong, this is right. So at the beginning he says, you all need to be one. Speak the same thing. And here's the same thing you need to speak. That's how Paul deals with it. Now, no doubt, his letter did not solve the problem. He's the apostle of Gentiles, the apostles of grace. But his epistle, I'm pretty certain, did not solve the disunity in the church, if that church is anything like the church today. Because he probably wrote the epistle, and there were people in Corinth that said, yo, Paul's just wrong. Okay, well, as Paul writes in Romans 14, they're accountable to the Lord, just as you are, you see. But we got to speak the truth, and we should speak the same thing regarding the truth. That's the way God designed the church. So there shouldn't be these sorts of divisions. We should be joined in the same mind. That's our thoughts. That's our beliefs. And in our judgment, the same judgment about what is right and wrong, right? What is true and error. Verse 11 says, "It hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." So there's the verse describing the controversies in first century Corinth. And I just use that as kind of a proof text this morning to say, well, it's the same thing today. There are many controversies within the church, the American church, the world church that calls itself Christian. Okay, I'm using the term very loosely. Okay, so everyone knows those controversies. And all Christians know, perhaps, unless you're really naive about it, that there's doctrines that Christians don't agree on. Right? There's doctrines they don't agree on. And so what do we do about that if we're supposed to speak the same mind? Right? How do we respond? In Acts chapter 9, in verse 29, what Paul does is he disputes. Acts 9:29, Paul goes into a synagogue and he disputes with the Jews. He disputes with those on the streets. He disputes with those in the marketplace. And what is he disputing? Well, you read later what he's saying, and he's actually talking about the truth about Jesus Christ and the truth about the gospel and the truth about the doctrine. And he's disputing, meaning he's presenting the argument for truth against what they think is truth. Whether it be the Jews in the synagogue, whether it be these Corinthians who have it wrong, whether it be those on the streets, he's disputing. Okay? It says elsewhere in Acts that he, Acts 17, I think, he goes into the synagogue and he contends with them. And so the point here is that Paul, when speaking truth, enters contention. Okay? And if there's anything you take away from this morning's lesson, it's not the truth about all these doctrines. I'm not going to exposit 20 different doctrines for you this morning. But it's simply that controversies exist, and the way Bible believers deal with them is by speaking the truth. Okay? It doesn't guarantee they're going to agree with you, but that's what you have to do because it's right. And that's the only way someone else can be unified with you, united with you, is if you speak the truth. Okay? The only other way is compromise, which is you don't speak the truth and you take what they say is true, and that would be wrong of you. That would be deceptive of you, you see. And so the way Paul deals with the way that God tells us to deal with it is to speak the truth in love, and so that we can all agree and speak the same thing. That's the only way people will agree with the truth, that they hear it from you. Okay? And so we do that with love, we do that with gentleness, with the aptitude to teach, hoping that we all get on the same page, right? That's how we deal with the controversies. But there's many times that people struggle with knowing the truth. We talk about that in general and say, you need to speak the truth. Well, maybe one of these doctrines, maybe a few of these doctrines, you are not yet persuaded of the truthfulness of the position from the Bible Rightly Divided, or the, what I'm going to say about it up here. And for that, for you who are in the church, is what we're talking about, you need to bring it up, okay? You need to speak out about it, okay? When we gather in the church, again, our goal is to grow together in the truth, to be of the same mind and judgment. So some of these controversies, there are things that are trivial, things that don't matter much, but we'll see a lot of these things are very fundamental to our ministry, to expositing the Bible, to knowing what God is doing, right? And so if you struggle with something, if you're not sure of one of these, you're not persuaded, perhaps I'm causing contention with you because I'm saying something that you don't fully agree with and I'm too strong about it, then the way to approach that is you need to bring it up. Let's talk about it. Because that's how two people can agree. Let's grow together. What we do is we open a Bible. You have one, I've got one. We can share the same one if you want. We open it up, we read it, we study it, and we both learn from this. It's not about me being right. It's not about you being right. It's about this word being right, you see? And that's how we do that, and that's what the church does. So it's not a shame to say, well, I'm not persuaded about that. I don't know about that. That's why we're here, to grow one another, right? I wasn't persuaded about all these things before I learned about them. You see? The same with you, the same with everyone else. And so this is the function of why we meet. And so no doubt there's controversies, not only between Grace Ambassadors and the Baptists and Presbyterians. Maybe Grace Ambassadors and the Bereans. Maybe Grace Ambassadors and other Grace Ambassadors. Maybe you. And we need to deal with them. And that's how we deal with it. Okay? The wrong approach then, of course, would be remaining ignorant. In that word ignorant, you see the wrong approach. Okay? None of us should remain ignorant, but how do you remain ignorant? You ignore the controversy. You ignore seeking the truth. You ignore the issue. Not even there. Just forget about it. Okay? Well, there is an issue. There's lots of issues in Christianity. And there's issues with you. There's issues with me. We need to deal with them. Okay? And so that's what we're talking about. And so the list that follows under point two in your outline are the most controversial, debated topics I could think of. Maybe you've got some more. Within the church. And what's fun about this list, I think, is that many of them, if not all of them, are resolved by understanding the Bible Rightly Divided. And so I think, wow, what a great key, what a great tool. I mean, this is why I'm so excited about the Bible Rightly Divided, is that this tool of the Bible Rightly Divided can solve the major controversies in the church. I mean, what kind of unity we could have if the church agreed on the Bible Rightly Divided and solved these questions that we've been having, right? Wow. Then we could just argue about the transition nature. Peter and Paul was just talking to Jennifer about that before. I mean, that's a small thing in Acts 15 and what Peter and Paul agreed to, or, you know, how many gifts did Paul have? You know, these sort of things. Yeah, those are small things. Don't matter greatly, right? But these doctrines that are controversial do matter greatly. So the Bible Rightly Divided really is a solution here. So let's get started with these controversial doctrines and see whether you agree with me or not that they are controversial, okay? If not to you, then great. Praise God every time that you're able to say, not to me. What you said, I agree with, because we're the same mind. Great. This is great. I love having people of the same mind, the like-minded believers to fellowship with. A mutual faith we can both be encouraged from. If it is something that is controversial to you, then fine. Let's also bring that up. Bring it up to me in private. Bring it up to me in the question times that we have. We can deal with it. Let's talk back and forth. Okay, let's try to study the issue out. Number one on the list is what Trevor taught this morning, so it should not be a controversy to any of you, right? You all learned this morning what the doctrine was, but it's baptism. And you know from your past experience that baptism has got to be one of the most divisive things in Christianity in its history. Okay, I put on here, I gave each one a little award for being the most something. And I put baptism has the most options because one preacher humorously said, you can choose which church you want to attend by what you believe about baptism, because there's so many different ways people talk about baptism, different methods, means, things they say when they do it, that you can choose your church based on what you think about baptism. And that's partially true. There's so many different ways that Christians talk about it. But what that tells us is that it's a controversy. We're not agreed. Okay? Get a bunch of Christians together, representative from every denomination, and raise the question, what do we believe about baptism? Argument. Dispute. Or they'll all be polite and not talk about it. Right? That's the other option. Okay? But they all believe different things. There's a controversy. You see, there's differences there. Are we water baptized? Are we not water baptized? When are we water baptized? When we're children or when we're adults? You know, what do we say when we get water baptized? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Spirit? Maybe just in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, like Jesus, Acts 2, Peter said? Or is it the Holy Spirit that comes down when you're water baptized? Do you have to believe before you're baptized? Or do you get baptized as a testimony of your salvation? Does it save you as it was presented as a condition of salvation? What's the importance of it? What do you do it? And that's just one baptism. There are more than a dozen in your Bible. There's a baptism of fire that John the Baptist speaks about in Matthew 3:11. Do we get that one? The Pentecostals think so. The Bible says it's of judgment, so I wouldn't want that one. You know, but see, there's disagreement here. There's a controversy. And what about the one baptism that Trevor talked about, that we're baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ? Seems like we all should want that one. But if we get that one, then what about water baptism? You see, what about the other dozen or so? And what about those times in the Bible where baptism doesn't include water at all? Like in Paul's epistles in Romans 6, or even Peter in 1 Peter 3, where it says it's not the washing of water. It's a good conscience. So there's many times baptism does not include water. Well, you bring up this issue among Christians, and you're going to have an opinion or two. Okay? That is, if they consider the Scripture. You're talking to someone who doesn't know the Bible, they may not have an opinion. Maybe they have a question about it. Well, how do we solve this issue of baptism? Well, if you know the Bible rightly divided, I think that gives you a pretty good step in understanding, realizing that there were once religious ceremonies given to Israel for various purposes of their sanctification, their remission of sins, for their preparation for their kingdom. And then there's this new information given to Paul, this revelation of the mystery of Christ, by which it's totally grace, not by what we do, not our works. And Paul says, Christ sent me not to baptize. You see? So that's something unique. Paul thanked God that he didn't baptize any more than he did. Doesn't sound as if, to Paul, water baptism was as significant as the gospel, as 1 Corinthians 1:17 says. And yet, what does the Great Commission say? We'll cover that a little bit later, right? Go baptizing them in the name. So if you're a Baptist, that's not controversial at all. You do it, right? That's what Matthew 28 says. What if you're not a Baptist? What if you're a Presbyterian? Oh, it's not sprinkling. Baptism means immersion. Yeah, oh, okay. Now there's a controversy, you see. This exists. Well, let's move on. We can't spend the whole time on that. What about the Lord's Supper? I'm starting out with the sacraments of Christianity because this is typically what people think about when they think Christianity. Oftentimes, when you see a symbol of Christianity, they'll have a little cup and bread and water or something because they think these are the sacraments of the church. Okay, of Christianity. Well, this is a dispute within the church, not just outside. You know, atheists don't care about the Lord's Supper. Right? Hindus don't care about the Lord's Supper. It's not controversial to them. But in Christianity, yeah. How do we do it? What does it mean? Right? Controversy. I mean, Roman Catholicism, they teach you have to eat it to be saved. Of course, they teach that the cracker is also Jesus' actual flesh. So, very controversial. I mean, remember the whole Protestant Reformation bit. You know, half a Christian world split off of Roman Catholicism based on this doctrine. And even within Protestantism, there are divisions. I mean, the Lutherans and the Reformed aren't that far off from Catholicism. They're not transubstantiationists, but they're consubstantiationists. And so when you eat that cracker, he's not the actual cracker, but he's along with it. So you're eating the cracker and Jesus. Not too far off. They just kind of got around that scientific test. So if you actually test the cracker, it's not his flesh. You know, it's still wheat and salt or whatever. They put salt in those things? They should. Anyway. The Lord's Supper is controversial, okay? And so I've labeled it the most Roman Catholic doctrine on the list. Because even when Protestants perform it, even when in churches you've been in perform the Lord's Supper, practice it, it seems to me very religious in the way they think about it. You've seen how we do it here. We try not to cross the line of sacrilegious or profanity, but we do realize that in the Scripture, Paul was talking to the Corinthians, and they were eating meals together. And he was teaching them a doctrine based on those meals. Because when you gather together in a meal, you're not punching each other in the face. You know, there's no controversy there. You come together in one meal, one table, one body is what Paul taught. One bread, one cup, one body. You have a common union with Christ. It's a doctrinal issue for Paul. It's a mystery doctrine. Something they didn't have before, because before there were Jews and there were Gentiles. Gentiles couldn't eat with Jews. Jews couldn't eat with Gentiles. But now, there's no Jew or Gentile. We all eat together. Okay? And that's just one thing that we do together amongst others. And so this is the doctrine Paul teaches of communion. But when I say that, that's controversial to folks. Because they think that you've got to do the sacrament the way that we've done the sacrament for centuries, which is the cracker and the juice, or the wine, depending on how liturgical you are, right? And you've got to say the blessing over it, because if you don't, perhaps it's not sanctified, right? So they make it all about the flesh and about the food. And Paul says, meat doesn't commend a man to God. So if that's true, then what about the Lord's Supper? So is the church about earthly things, or isn't it? Well, it's a controversy. We've got a whole section on the website about this, but it's something Christians disagree on. And again, maybe this is not one of your top controversies. So when it comes to baptism, you say, well, that's really always what I believe. Water baptism wasn't important. And Lord's Supper, I kind of like eating meals better than that little cracker anyway. So, you know, this is fine. All right. Well, moving on, what about prayer? This is something personal to all of us. And this I've labeled the most confusing doctrine, which, again, bringing up Jeremy's lesson last week, it's answered by right division. Why is not prayer answered by God? When Billy Graham says, the only time my prayers aren't answered is on the golf course, you know there's a problem. Because that doesn't work for me, Billy. You know, and so you realize that prayer is confusing for people. And you've all been confused by it. I've been confused by it. It's a controversy. You ask people what it does, and preachers claim to know. Right? You just ask believing. Right? Make sure there's no secret sin. Confess all the sins in your life. Make sure you're tithing and good standing with the church. Make sure you're in fellowship with the Lord. You know, there's this list of things you do. And then God will answer your prayer, right? Or maybe God doesn't answer prayers at all, and prayer is just meaningless today. Okay. In any event, it's a controversy. We learned last week that prayer is needful, and we're exhorted to pray without ceasing. And prayer, being that expression of the strong desires of your heart and the asking for supplication from God, it depends upon what God is supplying today. Okay. And your desire ought to be according to God's will, which is how prayer is. So prayer works. It works in you, okay, and it works according to God's will. But if you don't know God's will, you're going to be confused by that, you see. But prayer is controversial. But prayer, folks, this is one of the essential practices of Christianity, right? What do Christians do? What do religious people do? They pray. And yet Christians don't know about prayer. They haven't figured it out. It's still kind of a mystery to them, right? Well, if we don't even understand this thing of prayer, how in the world do we expect to get prayer back in schools? I mean, all they have to say is, well, what does it do? And we go, we don't know. Well, then what are you fighting about? Do you see the issue? Now, I'm going to get a little political later because it's controversial. Might as well, you know. But if you're talking about these political issues, if we're not set in the church on the doctrinal issues, what's the point? Okay, the reason why there's cultural debates is because there's not doctrinal establishment in the church. That's why. Okay, but we'll get to that in a moment. We're dealing within the church right now. Tongues, that's one we all kind of laugh at in our histories. Perhaps some of you have Pentecostal charismatic histories and you don't laugh so much. Maybe some of you have done it before. I spoke in tongues, right? But this is controversial. In fact, this is one of the doctrines that led me to right division. Tongues. Because that's what I thought was the end-all, be-all Christianity right there. I thought, you know, this is the only thing Christians disagree about is tongues. And if I can get this figured out, you know, I got everything figured out. So, you know, being the young, naive man I was, you know, you look up things about tongues and who's teaching what and what the real issues are. And then you come across this guy saying, well, tongues, that was something that was useful for Israel going into the tribulation. And, you know, in the dispensation of grace, a mystery was revealed. And, you know, and you're like, what? Mystery? What dispensations? What? And so you start studying this out, and you go, yeah, I guess spiritual gifts and tongues have to do with what God is doing in the world dispensationally, right? But that's not really an option on the table for most people. It's typically, do you do it or don't you? Right? Do you do it or don't you? And they quote Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, he spoke in tongues more than you all, right? I mean, how do you argue with that? You're Pauline. You know, so you say, I follow Paul. And the charismatic says, well, Paul spoke in tongues more than you all. He also said, I'd rather speak 5 words of understanding than 10,000 in an unknown tongue. Right? So it's about understanding, not about tongue talking. But, you know, that's too much Bible reading for one day. But tongues is controversial, is it not? But this is what people laugh at. This is what people mock in Christianity. You know, look at that. And Paul says, if you speak in tongues and the unlearned come in, they're going to think you're mad. That's what's happened. We speak in tongues. We do it openly as if we got a prayer language with God and only God understands and we don't understand. We look like ignorant rubes. You know, we don't understand what we're saying. God does. Don't worry about it. We look kind of silly. Well, I'm spiritual. The Corinthians weren't. They were carnal. So that's interesting. The church that spoke in tongues was carnal. Doesn't say tongue talking was carnal. It's simply controversial. That's what it is. Even in Corinth, there were those who spoke in tongues and then those who didn't understand what they were saying. The same controversy today existed in Corinth. All right? Accepting a change in the dispensation. And so you have back there in Corinth people speaking in tongues and they were doing it, puffing themselves up, and Paul exhorted and rebuked them. Controversial doctrine. Controversy exists. It's not over the minor doctrines. It's over major things. We've got to be engaged, folks. We cannot be ignorant of these things. We cannot be not engaged in these issues. If we're going to stand for truth, which is what God's will is, to have men come to the knowledge of the truth, to speak the truth in love, to be the pillar and the guard of the truth, then there will be contention. All right? And the good news is it's not that hard to stand for truth. I've already mentioned to you, you preach Christ and Him crucified. You let God be true and every man a liar. You know that all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for the man of God to be perfect, thoroughly furnished. You know those things? It's the Bible. It's Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of grace. That's your message. You don't have to know 1,000. You know that. That's what you know. That's the answer. God has told you it's the answer. Okay? That's why you're here. That's how your mind was changed. Right? Maybe some of the traditions you grew up with have changed because of your reliance on the Scripture. This is how you were changed. It was God working in you. So controversy can be resolved. People do learn. You're evidence. I'm evidence. People do grow. They do mature when the truth is spoken. We just can't expect everyone to learn and be on the same page before the Lord comes. We shouldn't have that expectation, but we do the best we can. Paul says evil men wax worse and worse, 2 Timothy 3:13. He says we'll face persecution, but our job is to communicate, is to educate, is to equip workmen that needeth not to be ashamed.
The Bible says the preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. By the cross, God takes ungodly sinners and freely justifies them through faith. But how can a righteous God give salvation to ungodly men simply by faith? Shouldn't salvation be earned by good works? The problem is that we are all sinners and the wages of sin is death. So a million good works amount to nothing when one sin results in death. If God only can give salvation, and man cannot earn salvation and has nothing with which to pay, then the only way to get salvation is if God provides it freely. And this is exactly what God has done through the blood, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ did everything necessary to save your soul. Trust God's righteousness in Christ and not your own, and you will be saved.
Now, if you've been listening and been asking yourself, what is this right division? Where do I start? How do I begin? I wrote a book just for you. I wrote a book last year about how to rightly divide called Start Rightly Dividing. And I want to give you that book for free if you come to my website and give me your mailing address. I want to know if you're listening. So if you're listening, send me your name and your mailing address at graceambassadorsradio.com and I'll send you a free copy of my book, Start Rightly Dividing. That's graceambassadorsradio.com. Want to learn more about Mid-Acts Pauline Bible-believing Christianity? You can listen to all of our programs archived online at graceambassadorsradio.com. But don't just listen. I want your feedback. Go to our website and ask your questions. Tell me what you liked about this program. Tell me if you're confused about the Bible. Tell me how good-looking I am. Or tell me off. Whatever your reaction, I want to hear from you. If you'd rather write me a letter, you can send your questions and comments to P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana. The only Swayze in the world. Our website is graceambassadorsradio.com, and we go to the post office every week to hear from you at Grace Ambassadors Radio at P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, 46986.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Grace Ambassadors Radio, where we heard part one of the most controversial doctrines in the church. Join us next week for part two, where Pastor Justin Johnson exposes even more controversies. And don't forget to visit our website at graceambassadorsradio.com.